people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, or no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish it didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Bukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Wednesday, February 8th, 2012. Israel contemplates the setting up of an air force base in Greece, and price tag operations take place in cemeteries and at a school in Jerusalem. These stories and more coming up, so stay tuned. The Israel military court has extended administrative detention for detained civil rights lawyer Dr. Youssef Abdulhak. Youssef is a lecturer at An-Najah National University and the cultural coordinator for the Tanweer Palestinian Cultural Enlightenment Forum. He is currently detained in Ofra prison near Ramallah. Youssef had been arrested in November in his home at 2 o'clock in the morning. He was sentenced to 3 months in administrative detention immediately, which has now been extended. Local sources reported Tuesday that a number of Israeli settlers uprooted nearly 25 newly planted olive trees that belonged to residents of Beit Tamar town, north of the southern West Bank city of Hebron. Youssef Abu Maria, coordinator of the Popular Committee Against the Wall and Settlements in Beit Tamar, told the press that dozens of settlers attacked the area and uprooted the trees whilst Israeli soldiers were present in the area. They were either unaware of the incident or merely neglected to intervene. The land is located near the illegal settlement of Kamizur, north of Beit Tamar, where the settlers have also installed a number of additional mobile homes. Settlers also broke into a Christian cemetery in Jerusalem and defaced several graves using spray paint to write racist graffiti, including "Death to Christians," "Death to Arabs," and "Muhammad is a pig." Graffiti was also found on the wall of a bilingual school in the city. In a separate incident, settlers attacked a gas station in the northern West Bank city of Jenin, forcing the residents out. In international news, the Israeli government, under Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is about to initiate talks with Cyprus in order to establish an Israeli Air Force base in the country, whilst affirming Israel's outstanding relations with Nicosia, the capital of Cyprus. Netanyahu will be heading to Cyprus later this month and will be holding talks on a number of issues, including the possibility of allowing Israel to park some of its fighter jets at the Andreas Papandreou base as an initial first step. Senior Israeli sources reported that establishing a military base outside of Israel's borders is a valid possibility, with Israel attempting to boost its security and military cooperation with a number of countries in the region, especially due to heightened tensions with Iran and Turkey. That's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Wednesday, February 8th daily roundup of news from the occupied Palestinian territories. We hope that you will join us again tomorrow. This has been brought to you by Hussein Persis and me, William Gibson.
Pakistan, Sunday. A European diplomat based in Pakistan, speaking under condition of anonymity, reported that Pakistan will support Iran in defending themselves from any Israeli attack aimed at their nuclear program. Remember that Pakistan also has nuclear weapons. Pakistan today. Pakistani security forces have seized at least 12 trucks in southwestern Balochistan province carrying fuel for U.S.-led NATO forces in Afghanistan, according to Press TV. At least 26 people, including drivers and their subordinates, were arrested after the recovery of fuel drums from the trucks. Hundreds of Afghan transit trade containers have been blocked in Pakistan over the past weeks under suspicion of carrying goods for the U.S.-led coalition forces in Afghanistan. Pakistan blocked NATO supply routes to landlocked Afghanistan following U.S.-led NATO airstrikes on two Pakistani military checkpoints that killed 24 soldiers on the 26th of November. Pakistan today. Missiles from another U.S. drone strike hit a house in Pakistan's northwest tribal region near the Afghan border, killing 9 people. The attack occurred in Sfaga village in a North Waziristan tribal area, according to Pakistani intelligence officials. Afghanistan, Monday. A NATO helicopter crashed in eastern Afghanistan. All aboard survived. NATO claims there was no insurgent activity in the area. Afghanistan, yesterday. A mercenary killed 3 of his colleagues and 2 Afghan police officers in Afghanistan's southern city of Kandahar. 5 other security guards were reported injured in the incident, which is reported to have occurred late on the 6th of February. The Kandahar Municipal Government Media Office said one of the wounded was also a police officer. Afghanistan, Friday. France announced that their soldiers will leave the base where 4 French soldiers were killed by an Afghan soldier who was retaliating for that disgusting video showing U.S. Marines defiling the dead, and for another video depicting sexual child abuse by NATO troops. Baghdad, Iraq, yesterday. 2 more roadside bombs exploded in the city, killing 1 person and wounding 5. 3 of the wounded were cops. Iraq, ongoing. U.S. officials now say they are reevaluating the size of the U.S. Embassy in Iraq, now the largest on the entire planet and defended by tens of thousands of mercenaries. Mr. Barack Obama, now is the time to pull the plug on that grand crusade in the Middle East you inherited from George W. Bush. Bring all the troops, all the mercenaries, and all the special forces home from all the wars today. On the 4th of February, even as brutal park police were attacking Occupy DC's encampment in McPherson Square, protesters showed up in front of the White House to denounce Israel's planned war against Iran over their nuclear program.
No war!
There's an interesting lesson in the sanctions from history. And that is that the sanctions on Iran have led to hyperinflation, the kind where people have to be paid more than once a day. You may recall that that kind of thing happened in Germany just before the Nazis took power. The hyperinflation in Germany was caused by crippling foreign sanctions in the wake of World War I under the Treaty of Versailles. The effect of those sanctions was to create hyperinflation when depression hit the rest of the world, and that led to political instability, which led to World War II.
Force in the world without any interference from the United States. We saw it in Iraq, we saw it in Afghanistan, we've seen it in Libya, we've seen it in Iran. They're trying to beat the drums of war and convince us they are our enemy there. They are not our enemy. Our enemy is the 1%. It's Wall Street, it's the White House, it's the Congress, it's the war mongers. Those who are real enemies. No war on Iran. No war on Iran.
No war.
That raises another interesting historical point. It always seems like whenever a system of government or regime gets into real trouble, they go and find themselves a foreign war. You may recall that in summer 2001, just as the anti-globalization movement was gaining steam and chomping at the bit to take down the fall meetings of the IMF and World Bank, they found themselves a war in Afghanistan. Is this another example of history repeating itself? That the best way to kill Occupy Wall Street and Occupy DC is to find a war in Iran? If you want to know what it's like to live in a country that America and Israel make war on, imagine being in Occupy DC, living in the camp, and owning no property other than what you have in your tent when the park police attacked on the 4th of February. And imagine that instead of billy clubs and shields, they're using cluster bombs, napalm, artillery shells, and machine gun bullets. That's the reality for people who live in countries attacked by the United States, Israel, or the NATO powers. When America decides they are the world's policemen, that means a lot of people get beaten up. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com. On the 4th of February, U.S. Park Police, some of them in riot gear, attacked Occupy DC's McPherson Square encampment. Like goblins in the night, they attacked just before dawn, demanding to inspect tents and then steal any tents not in compliance with arbitrary rules established by the Park Service. The inspection raid of Freedom Plaza generated further evidence of this, as word leaked out that the Park Service had told the police and their hazmat-suited helpers to remove 20% of the tents there without regard for any kind of compliance. At least 9 people were arrested at McPherson Square as Occupy DC held their ground and did what they could do to protect their belongings. Occupy never gave up, and there were enough tents in the park that Occupy managed to hold part of their ground for 11 hours as the invaders slowly advanced their position like a growing cancer. The whole thing reminded me of America's history of raiding villages from the beginnings of the European occupation to Vietnam to Iraq. At one point, the police so badly wounded a protester, some thought he had been killed. First, the cops said a brick had been thrown at them. Then they said it was a soda bottle. Then they said it was a glass bottle. Which is it, assholes? At another point, the police injured a 14 or 15-year-old girl, either by clubbing her or pushing her to the ground.
You want to see another child get hit? You want to see another child get hit? A 14-year-old girl just got hit with a club, my God. Hey.
What?
14-year-old girl, you're dead with a club.
14-year-old
girl.
That's what you're funny, again. You're clever. You're clever. You're pushing that 14-year-old girl.
What?
Fucking worthless.
Hey,
fucking worthless. Why, you hear me?
Fucking
I'm talking to you. I'm fucking talking to you.
The McPherson Square raid started off with swarms of police demanding to inspect tents and steal property. And as occupiers objected to being robbed by armed police, matters quickly escalated. Riot police in shields and armor pushed into the crowd, laying fences along their flanks to take over the square's paved walkways one at a time. Each such advance was accompanied by police violence, people being hit with shields and clubbed, and horse cops pushing through the crowd.
Don't you dare hit me with that!
Peaceful protest!
Hey!
abortion back.
During one of the most violent attacks, a Russia Today cameraman was wounded while filming the police brutality up close. As police were clubbing people, they were ordering people to turn their backs and walk away, as if anybody would be foolish enough to do something like that.
Calm the hell down,
turn
please.
And move!
Let's keep it right there.
Keep moving! Move!
Hey, look,
turn and move!
Keep moving!
Turn around and walk! Turn around and walk!
Watch your foot! Watch your foot!
You can hear the police ramming people with shields, even as they order them to turn their backs on the police in order to move away. As if the cops think anyone is stupid enough to turn their back on an attacker. They push people into and over a fence, leading to a number of injuries, including Russia Today's cameraman.
We're pinned against the fucking fence, officer! My legs pinned to the...
I don't know what I'm on right now! I'm on this thing.
I know.
All right, thank you.
Fence right here.
That's fine. Thank you. Yeah. Step over or?
Over. Over the fence.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Get over there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well.
When the violence was over, it was not effective in ending Occupy DC's protest at McPherson Square. The Northwest Quadrant was strongly defended, leading to some of the worst police violence as Occupy was temporarily pushed out of the square into K Street. At that point, in cold rain, Occupy held their General Assembly right in the middle of K Street itself, recalling the December 7th occupation of K Street. The following day, Occupy DC returned to McPherson Square and held their General Assembly in the usual location. The park looked like someone had stampeded pigs through it. Filthy horse manure piles were everywhere. Occupy DC said 14 tents had been removed, some of them destroyed. The grand lawn where Occupy holds General Assemblies had been churned to a mixture of mud and manure by police vehicles, heavy construction equipment used to destroy tents, and horses. GOP Congressman Daryl Issa, a California Republican, may have frightened Interior Secretary Salazar into ordering the raid with his January 24th hearing on Occupy DC. Given this sort of intimidation and the hordes of cops that resulted, a stampede of pigs may in fact be an accurate description of the events of the 4th of February in McPherson Square. Issa, of course, is a well-known enemy of DC statehood and budget autonomy, and Salazar is a coward, along with all his goons in biohazard suits. On the 4th of February, as Occupy DC's camp in McPherson Square was under attack by helmeted park police, many in riot gear, a number of occupiers gave speeches about why they were there. Another person said that they occupy because another trans woman was stabbed to death while the police were busy up at McPherson Square.
The Parks Police
came to McPherson Square
to evict us. Just like they go. And evict families out of their houses.
Out of their houses.
I got together with my community.
I got together with my community.
And we did a little bit of outreach.
And we did a little bit of outreach.
And collectively, we succeeded in bringing the whole world
to McPherson Square.
To listen to us.
And
we stayed at McPherson.
McPherson Square.
Can we stay at McPherson Square?
That would have to be on there, but I think
we should do the same thing.
Join you?
Yeah. When we...
I'm going to try to get pictures.
When we know...
When we know...
About a family...
About a family...
Whether it's in Philadelphia...
Whether it's in Philadelphia...
Or in Petworth...
Or in Petworth...
Or in Petworth...
Or in Petworth...
Or in Petworth... To come together...
And prevent that eviction.
Now wouldn't that be out of the frying pan and into the fire for all those foreclosure-loving bankers and landlords in the city to find that Occupy had moved from a park to occupying the very homes that they're trying to throw people out of so they can gentrify?